Adam Winkler. Paul Catalina, you know him?
Yes, pretty well.
Yes, covers the Redskins and, well, a good friend of ours as far as our show as well. And he, today, gets awakened with the news that he knew was coming. He knew was coming with WTKR3 in Coastal Carolina, AdamWinklerTV.com, at Adam Wink Sports on Twitter. What's up, my friend?
Smokey, Paul, it's always wonderful to talk to you, and I appreciate you not setting this meeting for 5 a.m. Yeah. That's just the kind of guys you are.
Adam, now that Tony Wiley's gone, is your job harder anyway?
You know what? I got to give you a bunch of credit, Smokey. My job was a lot easier with Tony Wiley because I dropped your name early and often. So I think it'll be more difficult with Tony because I never got the no means no from Mr. Wiley. I will put that out there.
Did you not? Good yeah. for you, man. Obviously, the news of the day, and the Redskins are a mess, 0-5, and all this whatever's going on. Why did Jay Gruden get fired other than the obvious of his record?
Because you can't fire the 41 chumps that they have on their roster. I think there's a collective bargaining agreement that says you can't fire the players. It's a bad football team. I mean, a really bad football team. And we expected them to not be great, but when you lose any talent they had on the offensive side of the ball, talking about the offensive line and the backfield with Darius Geis, and your defense is just is not good. They're injured. They're blowing assignments. They're terrible, and something had to change. And again, you can't bench all the dudes that you're running out there. So Jay gets canned. They've lost 11 of their last 12, dating back to last season. 0-5 when the lights are brightest on Monday Night Football. Jay's lost 8 in a row. I mean, it was time for a change. From everything I've heard in corresponding with two people close to Jay Gruden, he knew it was coming. It was just a matter of when. I'm not sure why you do it after playing the defending Super Bowl champs and the best franchise we've seen in the last two decades. But, hey, maybe you circle the wagons and go fight off those Miami Dolphins on Sunday.
They're not going to do anything about Bruce Allen. And Dan Snyder's not just going to decide to change all of his ways and sell the team. So how do they find a coach that can deal with all that and win it all?
That is going to be the conundrum. There is always some sort of dilemma taking place with this franchise, as I've been here since July of 2016. For instance, this year, coming into the season, Jay Gruden knows he's on the hot seat. He knows he has to make the playoffs or else he's getting canned, yet they make him draft a rookie quarterback with the 15th overall pick. You think Gruden expects to win games by playing Dwayne Haskins? No, he knew his ticket was to try and catch lightning in a bottle with Case Keenum or Colt McCoy. So there's that drama. Now you've got more drama. Who is going to come here with any sort of chops who wants to work for a meddling owner, a meddling president, a non-existent general manager, and a front office that will backstab you if you don't do it the way they want? I mean, are they leaking videos? Is that the latest rumor that we heard about Jay Gruden last week? I mean, who knows what kind of options they're going to have. If you look at some of the odds that have been posted for who the next head coach is going to be, I mean, look at a guy like Eric Bieniemy, Byron Leftwich. Guys, Mike Tomlin is like the sixth highest odds. Do you think after being with the Steelers for as long as he has, he's going to come and work for Bruce Allen and Dan Snyder?
No,
come on.
No, not at all, because at least no matter the Steelers' troubles, everyone knows that at least it's stable, you know, and that's the last thing you could think of with the Redskins. How much of the franchise, and I know this is not so much about Gruden, but it is a fact. Trent Williams is holding out. A longtime player, all-pro, Pro Bowl player, and he's holding out because of, he just signed a contract about a year or so ago, but lack of trust. What does that say about the Redskins franchise? The trainers, the doctors, and just everything else in between?
It's a perfect microcosm of the fact that the Washington Redskins cannot get out of their own way. You find a little bit of sustained success. The Alex Smith situation last year, I mean, they're in first place. Things are going well. That was something that the Redskins could not control. The guy breaks his leg, and the rest is history. The last 12 games, they've lost 11 out of 12. that's an isolated circumstance. The rest, these are manufactured problems, and it starts at the top. And I don't know if it's because Dan Snyder is giving Bruce Allen too much power or Dan Snyder is too involved with Bruce Allen's daily business, daily list of things to get done. But somewhere on the list of things to get done is stay out of the football decisions because you are awful at making them. Every head coach they've had since Dan Snyder bought the team in 1999 has left the Burgundy and Gold with a non-winning record. You've got a couple that are 500. The rest are losers. So, again, going back to your previous question, why would any head coach with any sort of success want to come to Washington and tarnish your legacy? Because if the track record is anything but true, you're going to leave a loser.
Yeah, no, they're a mess. They're an absolute mess.
Did Bruce Allen actually say that the culture around the Redskins is actually damn good?
It's damn good, Paul, and I don't know who you want to ask, but Bruce Allen is the president, and he says it's damn good. And credit to Bruce Allen. This was his first press conference since 2015. We've interviewed him individually. I got him one-on-one at the Super Bowl last year. He has been available sporadically. Daniel Snyder does not give interviews. So credit to Bruce Allen for standing up there taking questions, because that Washington, D.C. media, the claws were out today, guys. They were bloodhounds. Bruce answered the questions. He didn't answer them with much substance. He didn't give the fan base a whole lot of hope, but he answered them. But, yes, he said the culture is good. Paul, he also said that the pieces are in place. They just need to execute better. Look down that roster. Look at the talent that they have at the – especially the skill positions, and you tell me what pieces are in place. They're not losing close games, guys. They're getting their doors blown off and doing it at home. I shouldn't say home. Doing it at FedEx Field, because it ain't no home. Every time I cover a game there, which is every other home game, there's no home field advantage. It's at least 50% for the other team. And a lot of that is because of the way Washington, D.C. is, a very transient city, and the way the NFL is today. You want to go and see your team play because you only got 8 road chances every year, and 5 of them are different. But there's no home field advantage. And a lot of that, Smokey, as you know, this fan base is done, man. Mm-hmm. They are just so fed up, and they are so loyal. I've covered a lot of teams and a lot of franchises. Redskins fans, they're so loyal, and they want a winner so badly. But they've just been knocked around and embarrassed for so long that they're jaded.
Yeah. No, I'm telling you right now, you know, and everyone else knows, that I've been a lifelong Redskins fan since I was old enough to understand anything about football in the mid-60s. I've seen bad football. But now I find myself on Sundays numb to even that they're playing, that 7-0, they make a big play. And there's no doubt that they're going to eventually give something up. The defense can play their you-know-what's off at them for about a half, and then something happens, and then the offense can't move the ball, so then they get tired, and then they give up a long, you know, play, and then a long drive. It's awful. It's embarrassing. I think they're worse than the Dolphins. At least the Dolphins are partly ahead of the curve on what they're trying to do by tank the season. And the Dwayne Haskins issue, I don't even know if he's the answer. Even if a new coach comes in, he might not even. So that's another early first-round top-ranked quarterback, or at least first-round quarterback that might be a waste. What is the real, true thoughts about Dwayne Haskins?
Until today, I wasn't concerned. But listening to, because I know for a fact, or at least people that have told me that are close to Jay, Jay Gruden did not want Dwayne Haskins. And it wasn't necessarily because he didn't think Haskins projected. Jay Gruden knew that if he got an edge rusher, which he ended up getting in the first round in Montez Sweat, that his chances of succeeding and winning in this division with the Carson Wentzes, the Dax, the Zeke Elliotts, would be much higher than taking a flyer on a rookie quarterback in the first round. Listening to Bill Callahan today, Bill Callahan, long tenured coach, successful in most spots, he was asked about the quarterback decision today because it's now his call to make. Starting Sunday in Miami, it's either going to be Case Keenum or Colt McCoy. Dwayne Haskins is the third-string quarterback. Hmm. If he's been around for as long as he has, granted, we're just in early October, but he's been through all the rookie minicamps. He's been through training camp. He's been through the OTAs and so far 6 weeks into the season. If he's not to a point where he can play and get reps on an 0-5 football team, he might not be the guy. I mean, and that is a serious concern. Maybe they're taking it slow. Maybe they're playing it cautious. But, guys, you have an interim head coach, an 0-5 record, and you're doing a wide search for the next guy, this isn't the time to be cautious.
Do they have any? Do you get any inkling of who they might look at? I mean, where you go for the next guy?
I mean, I think you have to go with an offensive guy. I mean, that seems. I mean, you've got Darius Geis. You've got Dwayne Haskins. The pieces add up. Terry McLaurin looks to be a successful receiver, at least early on. Your defense appears to be in place. You've got the pieces. I will agree with Bruce Allen there. Their defense, it's going to be fine with Ryan Kerrigan and Jonathan Allen and Daron Payne, Landon Collins. I think you have to go with a creative offensive mind. But, guys, that's what Jay Gruden is. He's a highly respected offensive play caller. It just did not work. So maybe you need a little bit younger. Maybe it is Eric Bieniemy who's doing his thing in Kansas City. Maybe it's Byron Leftwich who's working wonders with Jameis Winston. I'm not saying Jameis Winston and Dwayne Haskins are in the same sentence yet, but at least it's a start with first-round quarterbacks who – had a lot of work to do early. I think that's where you have to go. Kevin O'Connell, I'm not sure if he is ready to be a head coach. He's never called plays before. Sunday in Miami will be the first time he's called plays at an NFL level. They think that he could be the next boy wonder, the Sean McVays, the Kyle Shanahan, the guys that got away from D.C., so that's why he's going to get his shot. I'm not sure he goes from where he is today to the head coach of the Washington Redskins next year, but he's going to get a look.
Yeah, that's you just stuck methylate in an open cut. You mentioned McVay, Shanahan, and there's I think someone else.
Matt LaFleur was Matt the quarterback. LaFleur, I mean, in Green Bay.
They had them on their staff
at the same time.
Yes, it's just.
And the thing is, guys, it's not like they let them walk after winning a bunch of playoff games.
No.
They haven't won a playoff game since 2005.
I know.
So whatever is going on with this culture here, even some of the brightest minds in the world when it comes to football could not do their thing here. They left as losers.
All right. What does Bruce Allen have on Dan Snyder? Or what's their relationship that Dan Snyder, I mean, he's fired everybody else. Why does he like Bruce Allen so damn much?
I think because Bruce is just Teflon. Bruce doesn't care to get up there. He doesn't care about accountability. He doesn't care about apologizing to the fans. So if Dan Snyder knows that he can run Bruce Allen up there and get peppered every now and then, and the guy's trending on Twitter every Sunday, hashtag fire Bruce Allen, and nobody seems to care. So if Dan Snyder knows that Allen will go up there and kind of be his fall guy and it won't affect him, they're making money, guys. I mean, that stadium was packed to the gills yesterday. 75% of them wearing Julian Edelman and Tom Brady jerseys, but you know what? They're buying beers, too.
Yeah, yeah. I put this up when I knew we were going to try to get you on. As a lifelong Redskins fan, today's move to fire Jay Gruden won't fix their cancerous core of ineptness from their ownership to GM and into the locker room and even others surrounding the franchise. Jack Kent Cook has to be rolling over in his grave for years. And that's sad. They can't bring Joe Gibbs back for a third time. Even that, he was 30-34, even though he gave him a couple of years of success. It's just, good Lord, it's a dumpster fire. It is.
I've never been around a fan base on any level that was so disheartened with a firing. I mean, usually that fires people up. You're excited. Hey, new page. There's no hope. There's no optimism here because there's no accountability because everybody knows that until Bruce Allen slash Dan Snyder out of the way, things aren't going to change unless you bring in an absolute dynamo. And I just don't know who that guy is. And if he's out there, I don't think he's coming to FedEx Field.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it. Good stuff, Adam. Great to have you. Great to have you. Good to hear from you again. And, yeah, well, I don't know who the Knicks PR guy is going to be. Good luck with that. Adam Winkler.